You're entering the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teigman, resident soul explorer, transformational coach, and sparkle maker. Tune in weekly for a blend of soul chats with thought leaders, entrepreneurs, everyday rock stars, and Shari musings about finding your spark and passion in life and business. We explore how creativity and passion drive success and fulfillment and light up every aspect of who you are and what you do. Welcome back to another episode of the Creative Soul Lab with Shari Teigman. Today, I cannot contain my excitement. I have someone on today who has been a real business and personal inspiration to me. I met her about, 8 months ago, and we had a 20-minute conversation that kind of changed the trajectory of everything that I'm doing, which I know she won't be surprised to hear about because I'm sure she hears about it a lot, but it's nice to be able to tell her to her face here. So today I welcome on Kat Laterzo. Kat's official bio is that she's an author, she's a speaker, she's a coach, she's a mentor, she's literally a magician. So you'll see what I mean as soon as she starts talking, but I'm honored to have the epic Kat on today on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And I have to say that's one of the probably the most powerful and slightly daunting intros I've ever had.
No pressure.
Have to be a magician.
Exactly. What's amazing about you is that you are just you over and over and over again. And I think that people think that the magic and the passion has to come from this wizard behind Oz somewhere, but it's more, this is your whole mission, is just showing up as who you are, you know, giving fully from exactly what you believe and not having anything hold you back. And I think that's what's so magical about you, because it just keeps flowing and it keeps going. There's not a stop and start of, oh, is this right? Does this go in line with what I mean? You know, if you stopped and thought about it, like other people do, you don't create anything. So, you know, I guess there's so much to talk about with you, but I would love to start with, how did you get to be this version of Kat Laterzo? How did you step out and just stop giving a crap to the point where you just, where your service is what leads you and your passion leads you, as opposed to the other way around?
Probably the best way to answer that is through hellfire, kind of. So the way that I got to where I am now is essentially from doing everything that didn't work. Maybe that's a bit too hard on myself to say it that way, because I was always, you know, one of these people that's on a quest for more, and since as long as I can remember, just believed in the concept of more and believed in the concept of creating life on your terms, and whatever you set your mind to, you can create. So when I say more, it's kind of like, well, more what? And the answer is sort of like more everything.
Yes.
Just like whatever, right? Whatever you decide. I have always believed, or since as long as I can remember, that you can bring that into reality. So, you know, couple that with, I guess, reaching a point in my late teens where I'd been like the good girl and the good student and a really high achiever, and I was on this pathway to be a lawyer, and I had the grades and everything to get into law school, and I started, and I literally went to like one class and I was like, no
no thank you, I'm gonna leave.
No. And I mean, to put it in like, To paint the picture, I had been like the top student academically throughout my entire schooling, absolutely always top of all my classes in academics. And I remember several of my high school teachers had written on my end of schooling reports, you have never met a student more suited to tertiary sort of college education. And then I went along and had been planning for like a decade to be a lawyer, and literally went to less than a week of classes. And I was just like, no, I just don't think I'm going to go anymore. And I didn't really share that with my parents or with anybody. I just kept going to the university, but I set up a little business at the back of the health food store.
Of course you did.
Yeah, and I was giving facials for $50, which I was completely unqualified to do. But it was working, and so that way I still went to class, so to speak, but I didn't actually go to class. And basically what happened was, I think I realized, oh, now that I'm not in school anymore, nobody's keeping me accountable and nobody's forcing me to conform. And it was also, to be quite honest, it was a realization that, well, now, I didn't realize it at the time, but I look back now and realize, oh, everything that I did throughout schooling, I mean, I was driven to be successful and I liked being good at things and intelligent and that sort of thing, but it kind of came quite easily, school intelligence type stuff. And it was more that I wanted to be seen as being the top achiever. And in college, nobody's seeing you. Nobody's really noticing if you're turning up or not in a lecture room with 400 people in there. And it was almost like, oh, well, nobody's paying attention to me. I don't think I actually want to do this. And at the time, I felt really irresponsible and really worried as well, because I really felt that pressure, as you do at that age, 18 years old, I think I was, what am I going to do with my life? And I thought this is what I was going to do, and now I'm just not doing it, and I don't think I want to do it, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I floundered around and I chopped and changed degrees a few times and never really finished anything. And then I accidentally fell into personal training, which was completely like another thing entirely from who I'd ever been, because I was not a sport. I was like the girl who was picked last always. And I'm not saying that. Like, I was literally always picked last for all sports during school, you know, when you had team sports. Very uncoordinated and very, like, not the cool, popular, sporty kid at all. I was the geeky kid, and yet somehow became a personal trainer. And I sort of reinvented myself as this, like, fit, hot, popular fitness model type person. And it was very much, I look back on it now and I realize I literally created a 13-year career as a personal trainer as a fuck you to the cool girls that I'd gone to school
There's
with.
No better driver.
Right. But not that I'd never been bullied. I had friends. I wasn't like picked on or anything. Nobody was ever nasty to me, but I still always felt like I wanted to be popular and I wanted to fit in. And to this day, I have to watch myself in that area of wanting to be liked. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure why, but that's always been a thing for me, and I still struggle with it. And so I created a career as a personal trainer as a result of that. But I love fitness. I still love fitness. And I was very good at it because I'm very good at selling, and I've always been great at selling. You know, I was like that 5-year-old kid selling stuff door to door, and I was an Avon lady when I was 11, and so always made lots of money, little entrepreneurial things as a child. But I went down this pathway, and I was making a lot of money and loving fitness, and kind of climbed the career ladder in a way within the fitness industry. And just through it all, you know, I had that constant underlying sense of, oh, I just don't know that this is the life I want. But, you know, you're hurtling along and you're following the pathway that you're supposed to follow when you're in your 20s. So that's what I was doing. And I got married and got like a BMW and a great apartment. And it was kind of like I was living the dream, but it was somebody else's dream. And essentially what happened was I kind of had what I call a quarter life crisis. I walked out of my marriage and I walked away from my apartment and my car and everything I owned and all my life savings. And quit the job, and this was all within the space of about a year. And by the time I was 26, 27, I was like divorced and completely kind of back at square one. And I was working, I was making money, I was working personal trainer again for myself, but I was really floating around and lost. And at some point, the whole internet revolution kind of hit. And I think I went to a seminar for personal trainers, which was on how to be a six-figure trainer, and it was all about you got to get online. So I started a blog and I rediscovered my love of writing, which I'd sort of forgotten about and I had always loved. And apart from saying I wanted to be a lawyer, the other thing I'd said my whole sort of growing up was I want to be a writer. And so I really enjoyed the blogging, and it was really just an avenue to get my message out there and for my personal training clients. And I hoped that maybe it would allow me to bring in a few new clients and maybe get some corporate work as a health, you know, person in-house for companies. And so that all happened. That was pretty good in terms of building up my personal training business. But also what happened was, being the, you know, the sort of high achiever learner that I am, I started to read and research about what was possible online. And I got it into my head that I was going to make $1 million selling ebooks. And so I started trying to write ebooks. Took 18 months, wrote my first ebook, made $411 the first day I published it. So not quite a million, but having said that, that was about 6 or 7 years ago now, and I've made tens of thousands of dollars from that book since then. And several $1 million in total online, not from the ebook, and not from ebooks in general.
And not that ebook.
not from that ebook, but that ebook has literally made me about 50 grand since the first day when I published it, and I made $411. And I'm not like mocking myself with the 400 bucks because I was incredibly excited and proud about that, those sales. It was 11 sales for $37 that I made. So that must be $407. You know, so basically though, I built up this successful fitness business online from roughly from 2007 through to 2012, and I actually made some really serious money with that business, and it kind of evolved, and it was fitness for women. So it was it's called womanincredible.com. The website's still there, it's pretty static, and it was fitness, nutrition, and fat loss for driven women who want it all, or something like that. So I still had that want it all fame. And I really did very well with it. And I built this incredible community of women, and it was all very organic because I wasn't learning, or there wasn't all the stuff around back yes. then that's there now to do with internet marketing. And so I was really just figuring it out myself and just naturally and authentically putting my message out there, and people were following me, and then they'll buy my stuff. And by the end of 2012, I was bringing in over $30,000 a month with products that didn't exceed $99. That was my most expensive price point.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. And that's when I kind of went, you know what, like I love it, but I don't think fitness is my true calling. And I kind of just defaulted into business coaching because I'd always helped people with their businesses anyway. And I'd been doing that for like a decade at the time, more on the side and not online. So I started doing that online because I thought, well, if I'm not going to do fitness, I guess it's helping people with their businesses. But where I sort of screwed it up was I got really caught up in teaching people online marketing and strategy stuff because I thought that's what people wanted to know. And the truth is I'd never been, like, it's not how I built my business anyway. Like, I just outlined.
Right.
I built it by following my heart and just being authentic and showing up. So I kind of dug myself in this hole of being this like business strategist coach, which is just not who I am. And it was actually really full on in a draining way because I was constantly sort of doing stuff I didn't really care about. And I seemed to attract in a lot of high maintenance clients. I wasn't being authentic. And so I wasn't attracting in the right personality of people to work with, and people were expecting stuff from me that I couldn't really deliver. And I just kind of got myself into a situation where I just hated my business. And so I know this is a really long way to answer your question, but
no,
I love it.
I'm
nearly there. So essentially I reached a point where it was end of 2013 and I had been pregnant that year with my second child who was born in September of that year. And the pregnancy was very scary. And I was told I was probably not going to survive the pregnancy due to a really rare condition. And so I was living in hospital from the 20-week mark on, in and out of hospital, but mainly in, and with this really scary condition, and it was very invasive situation to be in physically, and it was very hard on my first child, who at the time was 3, and, you know, didn't really understand why mommy could never come home. And so it was hard on everybody, on my husband and everybody. It was just the most stressful year with the pregnancy and with business just being completely out of alignment. And so all of that did not come to pass with the pregnancy, obviously. I'm fine. My son, who's now 2, is amazing. So that was incredible. And once we came through the birth, I just sort of thought, you know what? Fuck this. I'm done. Like, it's been the most full-on year physically and emotionally with life and with business. And I'm just done with doing this business shit that I don't love. And I really just remembered or felt back to all the stuff that I'd always believed about having it all on your terms. And I just thought to myself, you know what, if I don't walk away now, when will I ever? Because I was making money, like my best.
You had no reason on paper to be walking away. To other people say, oh, right, I'm not making any money, I have to find something. You had it
correct
set. You could have stayed and been numb.
Correct. And that's what I was doing. And I was hustling, and I was like, my best month that year was $72,000. So it was kind of stupid to walk away from it. But I just felt that it was like a turning point where I can either continue on this path of hustling and making money, but not being wealthy in a true sense of actual wealth outside of money. And the truth is, I never had anything to show for the money anyway. I mismanaged my money. I sabotaged a lot with money. I just reinvested a lot of it into my business, which is not necessarily a sabotage. But I really was like, it was like I was living like a broke person despite the money I was making. And I think that that was a deliberate sabotage. And I'm glad that I did that, because it kind of forced me into a situation where I had to acknowledge, well, this is not working anyway, despite the fact that it's working on paper. So that was, you know, and this is more to answer, directly answer your question, but that was the backstory. And it just got to a point where it was like, well, I believe that I've got a real message to share that's going to transform people's lives. And I don't know how to get it out there, and I don't know how to make money from it, but I know that this is not it. Mm. And so I chose to just walk away and just stop selling the stuff that was making me money. And just I didn't shut my business down or anything. I didn't shut my website down. My website was already under my name at the time. I just started to write again. And I'd already been writing all the time, but I just started to really write what was on my mind and not kind of care, not give a fuck, basically. Yeah. And just started to say what I actually thought. And really just, I literally would have spent 2 to 4 hours a day during that period for about 6 months doing internal work, like journaling and money mindset work and success mindset stuff and all of the stuff that I'm so passionate about. That's pretty much what I live and breathe now. And just really working to get my head in the game and myself into alignment, because I really felt as though I need to go within and stop worrying about what to do and focus on who I need to be. And it was very tough. It was a very confronting period where I faced bankruptcy, and I came very close to bankruptcy. There were periods where I couldn't even afford to buy a bottle of water, you know, in the shopping mall, or a snack for my daughter. And sometimes my card was being declined buying like $30 worth of groceries. So it was a really full on period. And I really just dug my heels in. I sold everything I could sell, like my shares. I had a little tiny portfolio. I sold my Audi, sold the house, sold my husband's motorbike. Well, he wanted to sell it, but he thought I put the money into savings, but I used it for us to live on, and even sold like handbags and stuff on eBay. So it was really tough, and I really felt scared, like, what's going to happen here? But I just dug my heels in and pretty much lied to my husband about how bad it was financially, because I had essentially convinced him to quit his job so that we could start traveling and living location free. And so we were still in Australia at the time, but not in our hometown. And so it was all down to me with my online business. And he knew that it was full on, but he never fully knew the extent. He sort of knows now. We've talked about it obviously since, but you know, I'm not going to sit there and kind of go through all the details.
No, it's better to skip over some stuff.
So, you know, the long and the short of it is that the dam burst. And after about 6 months of this, something shifted. And it was honestly, the only way I can describe it is it was like a fuck this shit moment, where something snapped inside of me internally. And I just thought, that's it. I'm done. I am not going to continue to live in this scarcity. It's over now. And it was almost like once I made a decision, everything just changed. And literally within 4 weeks of that decision, I brought in an extra 40 grand that came out of nowhere. It wasn't planned or expected. It was a brand new offer that just, you know, flew out of my head. And then within 6 months from then, I was doing about 50 grand a month again. And within 10 months, over 100 grand. And
unbelievable.
And that was, well over a year ago now, maybe about 18 months ago or a little bit less. And I mean, obviously, you know, business continues to have its ups and downs, but I can say for sure that I will never, ever again go back to doing something that's not what I'm called to do. And so the thing that I'm most passionate about above anything is really empowering other leaders and artists and revolutionaries, other incredible women and men, mainly I work with women though, to just own what their gifts are and what they have to share with the world, and know that you can make it. It's not going to be easy, obviously, but we know that anyway. And I think it's actually easier to do what it takes to create your business and your life on your terms, rather than to, I guess, conform and follow the so-called easy pathway that actually traps you into the wrong life.
Oh, you know, I completely agree with that. So I'm curious, yeah, with the people that you work with, because you are so incredibly passionate about what you do. In a way, you can seem larger than life, and I'm sure you hear this all the time. Yeah, but Kat, you're ballsy. But Kat, you did it this way. But Kat, you have this. You know, because it's easier to put you on a pedestal and watch you with popcorn as opposed to listen to what your message actually is, which is everyone has this inside of them. It's not me, watch me. It's I'm doing my thing, you go do your thing, then we can high five across the way because we both did what we wanted to do on our terms.
Right.
So how do you, I know it must be frustrating for you to hear the same I can't over and over again. So besides getting annoyed by it, I'm sure at times, how do you help your clients and the people that you serve in general, even, you know, whether it's on a one-to-one basis or just in your overall message? And we'll talk about content creation in a minute because I don't even know how to describe that either. How do you gently step people off of that self-sabotage, running inner critic message to say, stop, shut up, don't listen to that, and reroute?
It's like the simplest thing in the world, but also the most difficult. I mean, I just did a training, like a live training a couple of hours ago for some of my high-end clients, just wrapping up a five-week intensive we've been doing together that's been very much about strategy and advanced strategy. And in the final training today, I really just kind of wanted to wrap it up and talk about what it actually takes. And it was seriously like, dude, like, it's so fucking simple. All you need to do is share what's actually on your mind and not edit or filter yourself and just not even care. Like, you don't do it with the intent of, I hope somebody likes this, or I hope I get a response or a sale or whatever. And that's literally what it takes. So it's so simple to create success, because if you did that every single day, you're going to find your true following and your true tribe. And you'll also figure out purely through action what you're going to sell. But at the same time as it being so simple, it's the hardest thing in the world, because, you know, motivation comes and goes. Self-doubt is pretty much always there. Resistance is always there. You know, I sound like an idiot. It's often there as well when it comes to sharing your true message. So I guess, you know, this is like, I just wish I had some magical way to impart this into people's DNA, because I really just want people to know that, like, okay, I produce so much content and I post like a 2,000 word blog post every day and often more than once a day. And then I do video and Periscope and podcasts and live calls and all sorts of other stuff as well. And it's all daily. It's a crap load of content. It doesn't actually take me that much time, on a side note. So that's kind of a myth. But the point is, it doesn't mean like I'm just walking around like, oh, I'm fucking awesome and my message is amazing. Well, I do think my message is amazing, but I think it's critical. But I think that the way I express it is a fucking mess most of the time, but yet I publish it anyway.
I love you. But right? What the reason that it works is because you do it daily. So if there's one day that isn't exactly what you would wanted, you have the next day where you do it again, where other people will sit on the creation.
It's not even about that though. It's like, yeah, yes, you're right. But also it's like, you can't analyze it. Yes. Like, I can't sit there and go, oh, today's message or blog was a bit crap, or it was a bit random, or it was like embarrassing or whatever. Because I do think all those things often, not really, most days I'm like, oh God. I honestly, if I published only the blogs where I totally am like, oh, that's fucking awesome and the whole world should read it, I would literally publish one a month, which would still not be the worst thing, because most people don't even manage that.
I was going to say, it's more than many people ever do.
No, but I do a daily one. So I'm not, and I'm not kidding. I'm like, okay, one out of every 20 She's or 30 that I do where I really feel like that was on the ball. And honestly, I do know, like I feel it in my bones when I've written something amazing, and I always know when it's going to get a massive response, or sometimes it surprises me, but usually I know. But the only way I can come up with those magical pieces is by the fact that I'm committed to daily doing the work anyway and putting the other ones out every single day anyway. And, you know, sometimes I'll only get a couple of likes, which is pretty low for considering my audience. And then I just feel like, well, fuck you guys, what's wrong with you for not liking my post? I get really pissed off. But I also know that, like, I just have to get over it and move on, and then I forget about it anyway. But I also know that not everybody presses like on Facebook, and not everything you offer with a call to action has an immediate response, but people are still seeing it.
Yes.
And so the reason that I've built this business is because I show up. It's not about I sit there and analyze whether or not it was a good post. It's got nothing to do with whether or not I feel like getting my message out there every day. It's motivation comes and goes. Habits are what create success. And a lot of the time, a lot of the time, I don't feel motivated. Initially, I do get into it because I actually love writing and speaking, but I often feel unsure of what I'm going to say, or I feel that it's rambly. It is rambly. It's very repetitive. People say to me, what do they say? I hear this all the time. It's so funny. Oh, I'm worried that what I'm going to say is going to just sound, I feel like it's too repetitive. I'm saying the same thing all the time. I'm like, oh my God, have you read my stuff? Like, I literally say the exact same thing every single day, just in a different way. And all people say, oh, but it sounds like I'm a crazy person. I'm like, well, you are. And also, have you read my stuff? Like, it just blows my mind. All the stuff people hit me with where they think it's like a valid excuse and then I'm going to sympathize with them. And then I'm like, seriously, man, like, are you reading my stuff? Because everybody else is apparently walking around going, okay, your writing's great, which I appreciate. And I do think I'm a good writer. I love it. It's what I'm called to do. But at the same time, it is like a mess, and it is rambly, and it is crazy, and it is awkward at times. And sometimes it's like way too much information that really shouldn't be shared publicly. But it's the fact that I just put it out there regardless. And so that's what you got to do. You just got to commit to the process, not to, is it good enough? Is it okay? Do I feel like it? You really kind of let your destiny to be dictated by whether or not you feel like it.
Yeah. And there's no consistency because, like you said, those doubts are there for everyone, even the people who look like they're making it work. They don't have the lack of doubt. They're not missing those pieces that you think are what guide your day. You have the same feelings that everyone else does. You just don't choose to have them drive the bus.
Right. And I'll be honest, it's hard to be this disciplined at times. And so sometimes I do give in and I go, you know, I'm just going to walk away. But it's pretty rare. I'm pretty outcome focused with everything in my life because ultimately I know that I'm going to walk away from putting and publishing my work or making a video or putting something out there, and I feel great that I did it. It's the same with like working out. Like a lot of the time I don't feel like doing my workout each day, but I do it because I'm never going to walk out going, oh, well, I wish I hadn't have, you know, spent time looking after my body.
Right.
So it's the same thing. You're not going to walk away. Like even if you wrote something shitty or you create something where you don't feel sure about it or you feel like it was a waste of time, but it's never a waste of time because it clears the way maybe for the next thing. So yes. You're never going to walk out and go, oh, well, what a waste of time spending time growing my business. But I think that people sometimes do because they're looking for that quick response or, I don't know, like it's not like people necessarily believe in an overnight success or like quick fix. But at the same time, I think in the online space, it's really easy to doubt yourself and to look around and assume that everybody else is already rocking it. Whether or not they are is kind of irrelevant because it is what it is. You are where you are. You're either committed to doing the daily work to create your dreams or you're not. And if you're not going to do the daily work, then just save yourself the time and go get a job in a bookstore or something.
Agreed. And do it with full gusto because if the fear is going to cripple you, you're not doing anything anyway.
Right.
So another thing that stands paramount out to me is that there are some people who at your level of business would say, I only work with high level people. You can't touch me with a 10-foot pole. But the thing about you is that you are accessible to everybody. You have, because you are such a content machine, you have a myriad of DIY programs. You have a podcast. You have your online video show. You have, if someone never spent a penny, they could still get so much of the cat goodness and glean off of that. I mean, obviously, regardless across the board, if they're willing to do the work, but talk to me about what that means to you. The fact that you're able to reach so many people at different levels and why that's so important to you, because I know that it's something that you stand on to not make yourself so exclusive that it's, you know, unless you come behind the pearly gates, you can't get near cat.
Yeah, look, this is an interesting one. And actually, I did go down that path for a while. It would have been around the time that I started really exploiting my fitness online business. And I, you know, I received advice from a few mentors that right now that you're going really big, you're going to have to pull back. You can't be this accessible. It's not realistic. It was kind of like the what would Oprah do question, like, yes. Oprah's not accessible to everybody. It's not realistic. And that's true. You can't be friends with everybody when you've got a massive audience. And it was really hard for me to take, but I agreed with it logically, just purely based on practicality, right? My yes. audience was getting really big and I was getting like 300 or 400 emails a day and ridiculous amount of Facebook messages, and it was just not possible to keep up. But the problem was I kind of went from one extreme to the other. I just put all the walls up and I literally became that person where it was like, you can't touch me unless you pay a lot of money. And particularly when I moved into business coaching, I was like such a diva in a bad way. Like I'm not anti being a diva actually, but I was just like such an asshole really. where I would just like, I remember once some girl I went to school with, and actually she was one of those popular girls that I looked up to at school, where she messaged me asking for help about like losing weight after pregnancy. Obviously I didn't spider with my fitness business and I just ignored her. I never answered the message to this day. And I still think about it sometimes and I probably should just message her, but it was like 4 years ago now.
I hope you lost the weight.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing I would do. I would just ignore messages and ignore emails. It was like, you've got to pay to play. And I just felt like, well, that was what my mentors at the time were telling me to do. And nothing against them. You know, they were passing on their lessons and there was lots of things I learned from each mentor that did work for me. But it never felt good. It felt really icky to be like that. It felt like I felt trapped. I felt like, well, this is the only way for me to grow, because I want to play at a high level and I want to explore my business in a bigger way and I want to be a leader to millions. And that's, you know, always been my goal and still is. And so I thought that was the way to do it, but it just never sat right with me. And then I continued to join really high level mentoring groups where I learned amazing stuff. But definitely one of the things was, well, you just can't be, you know, helping everybody. And particularly you shouldn't be charging low prices to help people. If you charge low prices for stuff, like even like membership program and stuff, then you're never going to get high end clients. So it was kind of like everything should be high end and hard to access. And so I went down that path. I made money from it. And I just, you know, the short version is I just didn't like it. It wasn't me. I felt yuck about it. I felt kind of down about it. It was not in alignment is the best way to say it. And I think it comes back to the fact that it's not like, oh, I want to be like a saint and say that I just want to help everybody all the time for free. It's not really that. It's more, I've always felt that my calling is to really lead a massive community. And I really love the engagement. And I've also learned along the way since then that it's not really true that if you're accessible that it has to suck up all your time or energy. Sometimes it is stressful now. Like sometimes I'll be like online till 1 a.m. I do work quite late. It suits me with kid bedtimes. I work after they go to bed. And so I might clear out all my Facebook messages and then I might wake up at 6 and there's like a million more messages. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why is nobody sleeping? So I've just, you know, I've had to learn to put boundaries in and not be responding all the time just because somebody messaged me doesn't mean I have to look at it and reply immediately. So that sort of thing's just common sense. But to me, it's not even a strategy, because I'm not going to sit here and say everybody should be accessible in the way that I am. I am very accessible. And I really love connecting with people. And I don't answer every question in my free group, for example, or even in my paid groups necessarily, except for my private clients, I'm completely accessible. But even in some of my paid groups, it doesn't mean I'm going through the Facebook group answering every single question all the time, but I'm pretty engaged. And I don't sit there and go, oh, well, you're paying this much and you're paying this much and you're not paying anything, so therefore I'll give you like some edited answer or dumbed down version.
Right. Let me just check how much you pay me a month before I determine how much I'm going to put into my answer.
Right. Like who even has the time or energy to think about that? I mean, obviously with my private clients or my higher level clients, they're speaking with me one-on-one anyway, right? So yes. I don't need to like sit there and think about that. It just is what feels right. So I'm not going to say it's a strategy. Like if it feels right for somebody, like if you're listening and you think, oh my God, I really don't want to have a lot of people access to me. I don't want a big community. Like some people prefer to work with a small group of higher level clients and just have that very intimate access. And that's what they want their business to be based around. I've tried it both ways. Several times I've tried it both ways. And for me, that's like, I love doing high level intimate work with a few small group of people. But it's just one thing that I do. I really love having the bigger community. So guess what it comes down to is what feels right for you. And you know, never let anybody tell you that in order to make money, you got to do it this way or the other way. You can do it whatever way you want.
This is what I love about you, because it still comes, every question will still come back to that same answer. What works for me? What fuels me? How do I want this to be? Right. What did I want it to look like? I'm going to do that. And what I also love is that you openly have tried the other ways. Like you just said, even originally, the original answer with from the fitness business, you on paper made it the way people wanted to make it and it didn't work for you and you walked away and risked it. With this, you did what you were quote unquote supposed to do. You didn't like it. You rerouted and did it your way. And you constantly come back to that. It's like that inner compass, which people forget to listen to or even notice that's there. And that's how you live every day. It's amazing. It doesn't mean every day's easy. That's just how you live every day.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's amazing. What are the different ways in which people work with you? Because I love that you don't call yourself a business coach. You're just Kat. It's just about success and your own way. Like, what is the type of work that you do with people so people can understand, not only from a content place, because it's not just watching you as a fan, it's really the impact that you have one-on-one and one-to-many that really is what stands out about you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've got so many different, like in a practical sense, so many different ways you can work with me. I've literally created over 100 different online products and programs. They're not all active now, and a lot of them were the fitness ones, so it's not so relevant anymore, but they are still there. So the best way to sum it up with in terms of what I do is success mentoring, success mindset, getting you into alignment and into massive ass-kicking action to create the business and the life you want. So I do help you with the business strategy and marketing and what to sell and how to sell it. But that's kind of like, to me, that's like, it's like a 2-minute conversation once you've got everything else in place, because I can easily share with clients or, you know, the stuff that I actually do from a strategy and a making money point of view. But the only way that it's going to work is if the foundation is in place. And that's what I'm passionate about, which is essentially around getting you into alignment, into honesty around what your true message is, really owning your truth and owning the calling that you have to share with the world. And I really believe that we're all here for a purpose and that everybody has gifts and a calling to share. And so I love working with people to help them uncover that and help them clarify and define it. It's one of my particular gifts that I can do very quickly. Last night I did a call where I got to the heart of it in 6 minutes and 43 seconds with a client in the first session. And it was literally something that she's been struggling with for a year or two. So this is like probably one of my most special gifts that I have around messaging. And then from there, really the true work that I do is kicking people's butt and empowering them to take action and just getting over the fears and the doubts and the self-sabotages and doing the daily work. So as much as I do share and teach a lot of, well, what to do and how to do it and, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, that's kind of, like I said, it's like the cherry on top. The real stuff is getting out of your own way and just owning what you want to do and what you want to create in your business and life. And so whether you're doing, like whether you, you know, you can go to my website and join the community for free and you can get one of my Amazon bestsellers for free when you join up and join the free Facebook group and get your butt kicked in there every day and get some tips and ideas as well and obviously meet some cool people. You can do that, or I've got like monthly membership program where you have a lot of access to my online programs and to me as well. And then I've got higher level stuff and sometimes I do events and I have lots of different things going on. But regardless of what level that somebody would work with me at, the message is obviously the same and it's all going to come back down to, well, are you in alignment and are you kicking butt and doing the work?
Right. It's that simple. you blow me away because you live it. You don't say it and then go do something else and then step back into it over and over again. What's the bigger vision for Kat? I know that you're about helping as many people as you can and having as large an impact just to spread this message in whatever that means for an individual person. So what do you see coming up next for you?
I want to run some really big scale events. So it's really just more of the same of what I'm doing, but my vision is to really start running some big scale events over the next 3 to 5 years. I want to be running events with several thousand people attending. And really want to get my books out there in a bigger way. Ultimately, I want my books and my daily blog to be read by millions. So it's the same stuff, just on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm.
And what would you tell your younger self, that 26-year-old who walked out of that marriage and that car and apartment and all of that stuff, knowing that that wasn't what you wanted, even though you didn't know what you wanted, what would you tell her? Although she seemed to have figured it out quite well. What would you love to tell her if you could?
I don't even know. I look back on that time and I don't think I would look back and say that I would want to try and fast track it. Like, I had to go through whatever I went through.
Yes.
That was essential. So I guess it's just keep on trucking along, which sounds pretty like, you know, well, that's like not that empowering. But it is.
I mean, that's where the work happens. You can't go bigger till you do every day.
Right. It's really just keep showing up each day. I mean, I guess you could say trust, but it's like, yeah, what does that even mean? It's just keep showing up each day and do the best that you can each day. And I guess following your natural leanings is a big one. I think there's a lot of periods in my business and life where I could have saved myself heartache and time from just listening to my intuition. And I really feel that intuition is the most powerful business tool that we have at our disposal. And, you know, we would save ourselves a lot of effort if we just listened within.
Yes. And that's one of the great things that you really show up with is both the ass kicking and the showing up every day, but you also have that spiritual side of reconnecting and seeing yourself in a bigger way, clearing away the blocks that are there. You know, it's a marriage of the two because you can't, it's inspired action. It's not just action. Like, don't run around circles around yourself like a squirrel. That's not going to help you get where you want to go.
Yeah.
Amazing. This was just, I mean, you're just incredible. You're very inspiring because you're very real. You don't put yourself on a pedestal. I think when people put you on a pedestal, you come off of it very quickly with your next post the next day. You talk about your struggles. You talk about your frustrations. I was listening to a couple of podcast episodes this morning when I was driving my kids to school, and it's just, you're like that friend that everyone needs, but in a way of like, you're not going to make them feel better about where they are. You're going to call them out on it and say, you don't have to be there. It's your choice to stay where you are. It's your choice to do something else, but it's your choice.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to put all this stuff in the show notes, but where can people reach you? What are the Facebook groups, your websites? Where can they see your programs and your offerings?
Yeah, so look, the best place is to come along to katlaterzo.com. It's KATLOTERZO, or Zero for us Aussies. And, you know, you can join the community, grab a free copy of one of my Amazon best-selling books. I've got my Multi-Passionate Entrepreneur book up at the moment, which is for women who want it all in business and life. So that's happening. And then when you do that, I hope I should automatically email you an invite to join my free Facebook group. But anyway, you can check that out on Facebook. You won't forget it because it's unique. It's called Daily Ass Kickery for Revolutionary Fucking Leaders. Or you might forget it because it's a mouthful. But I'm pretty sure it's the only group with that name. So honestly, that's the best place to get started. Like, if you did want to jump in and start working with me straight away, then the best way to get started in that regard would be at the Tribe, which is the Tribe of Revolutionary Fucking Leaders. That's my membership program. You're receiving a ton of content from me and obviously access to the community and to me. And that's at katlaterzo.com/the Tribe.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for inspiring me. And now I know so many more people. You showing up as you inspires everyone else to show up as themselves. And like I said, it was a 20-minute conversation probably about 9 months ago. This podcast wouldn't be happening. So many other things in my business would not be happening. So I get to publicly thank you for those 20 minutes. It really made your game changer for me. So thank you.
You are so welcome. And thank you for saying that. I very much remember that conversation and just being like, oh my God, why are you not out there? And I remember exactly where I was. And I remember like standing up yelling at you through my laptop. I was in a hotel room in London. I remember it vividly because it really stood out and you do stand out. So really look forward to seeing your continued progress.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me too. I had grabbed a screenshot you had posted in one of our groups and says, I said to Shari, why are you not fucking famous yet? And I was like, you know what? That I'm going to wear. I'm going to hold on to that one on those hard days.
Perfect.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teagman. To learn more about finding your spark and lighting up your life and biz with Shari, come in and join the fun at shariteagman.com.